Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 19, Talents. Today is October 5th, 2007. Here's Dove. To the Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 19, Talents. Fantastic message. The message was originally recorded in 1988, and the message is about our talents and that each one of us has a number of talents that we've been given to use in this life. And Pastor Paul's message regarding the talents, he uses the our life as our main talent. Anyways, today is Friday, October 5th, 2007. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Thank you for joining the podcast today, and you can check out our website, and that is www.pastorpaul.org. At the website, you'll notice that we have a custom link up at the top. You'll be able to get to our podcast, our blog, our Flickr. We have a Twitter, and what else? Our store. How could I forget our store? So be sure to visit www.pastorpaul.org, and from there you will be able to go wherever you need to go. It's our new pastorpaul.org online community. So hoping to build that community, hoping to get some pictures on Flickr, by the way. You'll possibly, by the time this episode is played, at this time I don't have any pictures. Our website is full of pictures, so we want to put a lot of those pictures out there. And if any of you who are listening, if you have any pictures where you would like to share and join the Flickr group, I hope you would do that. Also, you can call the audio comment line, and that's posted at the website as well. I actually haven't memorized that number at this point, and I am recording from my car. Why? You're probably wondering, why are you in your car? I'm in our 1989 red Riata. It's a 20-year-old, I would have to say it's a classic little sports car. Actually, it's our summer car. The reason I'm recording is I just returned from registering at the National Preservation Conference, which is a conference being held in the Twin City area October 2nd through the 6th of 2007, this week. So it's Monday through Saturday. And it's a national preservation conference, which means that there are probably 3,500 national preservationists here in the Twin City area from all over the country. And I went there to register for the conference. And basically, I just had to turn around and come back home again. Unfortunately, I mean, the conference just looks fantastic. I filled out the registration form. I did the little survey on here. I wanted to go for, you know, 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I had these different, all kinds of things that are just so prevalent, I mean, to Pastor Paul's, our synagogue, the Mikra Kodesh Synagogue, which I absolutely love. And I'll put the link in the show notes. The synagogue is a historic synagogue. It was built in 1926, and so we've been a preservation member for quite some time. This is like a really big deal. And you know what? I'm not going to be able to go. I had to turn around and come back because I have got so many things that I'm trying to do right now. This is just one more thing. And, you know, I'm not going to be able to do the conference because right now I need to focus all my attention to our online store. I've got until the end of October to really put this site together and to promote it for the holiday season, because I'm hoping to bring some money and some revenues in from the store. And so the conference, even though it's national, it's fantastic, I am not going to be able to go. Now in the future, there may be some of you out there who, you know, I could have sent off to the conference or could have done the store or whatever. So basically, I need to bring some people into Pastor Paul's community here. We definitely need some help with all of our different initiatives. So I don't mean to complain about it or anything. And I'm sure there will always be another conference. But right now, I definitely need to focus in on this store. And the building itself is just a fantastic building. I love the synagogue. And the architect who designed and built the synagogue, he didn't build it himself, but I mean, who designed? See, this is why I need to go to the conference to be educated. But Septimus Bowles, and his name is at the website. He was an architect from London who was here, and he designed the synagogue, and it's so cool. Check it out at the website, but it's just absolutely beautiful. Pastor Paul purchased the synagogue in 1977. He brought his church in from the suburbs, purchased the synagogue. It had been boarded up for like 10 years. It was absolutely a mess. It was in shambles. He had to redo everything. So Pastor Paul, he should have a preservation award just for doing what he did to the synagogue. It sat literally for 10 years boarded up and was totally falling. He had to do major work, put all new electrical, all new boiler system, or fix the boiler. You know, I mean, just major, major work. And he had it. And if you go to the website, I've got older pictures that shows the building in very good shape. Anyways, would be just so good to be able to, and I know it's in our future, to help renovate the synagogue and get it into like its perfect condition the way that it was back in the day. So enough about that. Anyways, I wasn't going to even go to this conference. And then this morning, I was listening to Talents. This message is so good. And it really inspired me to go to this conference. But, you know, I just can't do it. I just can't do all of these things that I'm trying to do here. So we'll have to hold off. But you will love this message. And it will really speak to you because, you know, he points out how the Lord has given us all talents that need to be used. So without further ado, Talents.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever have not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Matthew 13:12. Perhaps no other utterance of our Lord has caused more puzzlement, more dissatisfaction than this concise one. Short, and I like that, to the point, leaving no room whatsoever for excuses, like, "But Lord, no one would listen. So I just thought, oh, forget it." Oh, yeah, and you're going to meet with discouragement. Don and I were talking about it the other day. The movement started in about the early 70s, and they had the coffee houses, and they had the places where the people could go show their talents, their musical talents. And it's a rarity now to find a coffee house. And in a way, they were a sham also, because people would just sort of church hop like they did in the world. They'd bar hop from one place to the next place to the next place, and they really didn't listen. They ate popcorn, threw it all over the room for you to clean up. Total hogs. Tell it like it is. But anyway, I said, you know, Don, the thought occurs to me that we have the talents and that we must take these talents out to the highways and to the byways like we're doing right here at this fruit, vegetable, bread rolls, and cookie run here on Emerson for the last 4.5 years. And I think it might be well if we would cut a bus down to the floor level, drive it out, and meet the people. And you know what would happen? Wouldn't be long. Oh, it'd take a little while, because, see, there's a lot of people perking out. The different establishments, panna cooking and so on. But it'd be a little time, and then pretty soon you'd see other buses going out. Because you would be the forerunners. The people that would take the gospel message out. Go ye to the highways and the byways. Don't wait for a church to offer you to come on in. They are dead. Say amen, somebody. For the most part, the church, and now TV is even dead. For the most part right now, God is challenging people to take the gospel to the highways and to the byways. And I said, you know, Don, we'll just have another wagon follow you with melons and pop and whatever, and then you can just administer the gospel right out there to whomsoever is listening. So when the Lord comes, you know, we'll have no excuse. You can always find an excuse. Well, nobody would listen. No one would help. Get tired of doing it all by myself. Yeah. It's not what our ears really want to hear. What you don't use, you lose. Have you ever neglected a friend because of some little slight? Then it got harder and harder and harder and harder to talk to that person. And pretty soon you lose them because you didn't want to become involved with them. Because you had other things to do, probably. There's only one thing that'll bring the body of Christ together, and that's Christ. That's loving the Lord. And I see these lovely new curtained. Isn't this beautiful? Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And over here, love your neighbor as yourself. Did you notice? How many noticed those this morning? Did you just put those up today, Janine? Well, that's a reminder then, isn't it? What you don't use, you lose. And maybe that isn't so important to us anymore. Maybe we want to have some other thing that we use, and then we grow in that. You can grow into a large potato sitting on a couch with a whole lot of eyes sticking out all over so you don't miss any of the boob tube. Yeah. Yeah, we need to practice giving away the gospel of Jesus Christ. Rehearse it. Like the song says, put it through a horn till it was born into a new note. We must give it away, period. What you don't give away, you're going to lose it. Maybe the farmers, they would read in their farmer's almanac, this is going to be a dry year, so well, let's don't plant. You don't use that feed in a hot, dry, humid weather like this, you're going to lose it. And all over our country are not using what we really have, our talents. Not only in the church, but all over our land, we're not using our teaching abilities. And the whole total picture is here that there's a lack of love, or we wouldn't be in such a predicament. And the ingredient that's missing, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we don't believe it enough to give it away and be an example when we do. We were talking about it the other day. There's very few role models. And so, not only do you have to be a role model, but you have to be 10 times the role model that you'd be out in the suburbs. 10 times as much dedication. Otherwise, the children get pulled, sucked in. Sucked right in to the garbage can. And so in the parable of the talents, the Bible says the first servant had a very agreeable report when his master returned. He was left with 5 talents and gained 5 more. The Lord said to him in the way of a compliment, well done, good and faithful servant. Then he went on to say, you're trusted, because he said, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things. Enter in, and this is the reward. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's the reward. So many of us are looking for some other kind of reward. A pat on the back, that's no reward. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. See, there was a work done. There was an effort put forth in the name of Jesus to do something, and then comes the reward. Now, you even know that with your own children, don't you? When you were a child, didn't that feel good when your parents says, boy, did you do a nice job? Good and faithful child. And you stuck your chest out, boy, I did a good job. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Likewise, the Bible says, the servant who showed a gain with 2 talents entrusted to him. Now, even in the world business, those that hang on through thick and thin and hard times reap the reward of those who closed up shop. Not that you're waiting for people to go under, it's just a fact. That's why they set up shops on every corner. You wait long enough and you do a good enough job and you're faithful to your customers and so on like that, you're going to be right there years later. You're going to be the one that's excelling years later. Just because that you have everything in order and you're doing a good job with your talents. Oh, they might have specials, they might have this, they might try to, all kinds of things. But your steady plodding on is what counts. That steady moving forward. And the Bible tells us, weary not in doing well. Don't get sick and tired and sick of doing well. Because there will come a time of harvest, and there will come a time of reaping. If you've sown. if you didn't bury it. Oh, how we need to get back to that principle. Give your life to gain your life. But then the Bible goes on, it says there was no reward for the third servant, who because of his lesser ability had been given one talent. Now let's give a look at this wretched fellow giving his wretched explanation of what happened. Lord, I knew thee. What a pukey thing to say. How would you like it if your kid came up and said, I knew you. I knew what you was going to do. Well, you did, huh? I mean, a direct insult. That thou art a hard man. I knew you, Daddy, your little kid says. I know that you're mean and stuff. Huh? And I was afraid, and I went away and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thy own. Here it is. How would you like to entrust your business to someone? And they just kept it and they cleaned it every day, but they never opened up shop. You never heard the cash register. Ding, thank you, come again. And you came back after a long journey, and there was a shop. It looked real good. Gee, it looks clean and neat and nice. Well, where's the profit? Well, I never opened it up. I was afraid I might fail, so I just kept it shut, and that way it would be the same way as you left it. Am I making sense here at all? See, we treat God, you listening on the radio to this tape, like he's non-existent. Like in our own dealings, we can deal with reality, but when it comes to God, well, it's just sort of, you know, well, maybe, maybe not. He, you know, huh. I mean, here is what you gave me, and here's what you're going to get. No more. Could a business survive that way? Well, that's exactly why a lot of them are failing. Because the people are afraid to make a move. They're afraid to take on the authority of making a move. Oh, I might get fired or something. Well, I don't want to make a move. That's why I never get too heavy on someone when they make a mistake. You want to know why? At least they did something. Lord knows we all make them. Why did you do that, you stupid person? And then the next person, well, I know he's a hard person. I just don't want to do anything, huh? You're afraid of what someone might say, so you don't do anything. Look, Lord, I know that you're hard and you're tough. I was afraid to move on this. What if I would have blown it? I thought to myself. And so I said, no way. If I don't lose it, then I'm all right. So I just sort of went away and I backslid and walked back into darkness and hid my talent. I buried it. Here, let me dig it up. So he grabs out an old nasty shovel and starts digging. And he goes down past the beetles and down past the worms and he pulls up this old wormy, maggoty claw. And pulls out his talents, his money, says, here you are. He's probably got a bed pillow wrinkle on his face, you know, like you lay on those quilts. And his hair is all over his head, and he's got this quilt marks all over his face, and he's got old slippers on where he has to slide his feet to walk with him. He's got an old garment on, you know, and he's probably, got the TV guide in his hand. Yeah, I knew you were a hard one. Huh? Just looking at people in the natural, wouldn't that make you sick? If you had somebody working for you like that. I know what my dad would say, "My Gossie, go on home, wash your face. You look terrible. Go home, go to bed. You look terrible. Why don't you go to bed at night?" No, Lord, here's what you gave me. He brushes off all the worms and maggots and everything and hands it to him. See, you didn't lose anything. But the master answers, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, at my coming I should have received back mine own with interest." And we're getting down to the wire now, aren't we? Someone yelled to me across the street the other day, "Pastor, slow down." The song came to me right away. "Slow down, you're going too fast. You got to make your motor last." I almost sang it, but I didn't. Right, Jim? And I says, "Well, I'll be jumping off this old planet, and I want to have a good report. I won't be here forever, you know." Another song came to my mind, "Make Hay While the Sun Shines, Nelly." Don't look for an excuse, Nelly. "Thou wicked and slothful servant, at my coming I should have received back mine own with interest. Take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. Here's a guy over here that had 10 talents. Okay, I'm going to give him yours now. It's called compounded interest. Talk to the banks about it. It compounds. And so if you just stand, having done all stand, you're going to make out. Are you hearing this today? How many are hearing it today? Talking about our Heavenly Father now. You hearing this? Compounded rewards for obedience. We talked about that yesterday. For obedience in service, God gives you compounded interest. And those that sort of got halfway going and got half a job done reap the reward. The person that did the whole thing gets the reward. These little happy things, they'll get the benefit of it. Now, you listening on the radio, this tape, now you're having a hard time in your business. Carry on, keep on keeping on. Somehow, keep it alive. Somehow, keep it going. And maybe you'll even, by your existing in business through hard times, you might even challenge a Christian or two. Miracles do happen, you know. Of course, right now, when I talk like that, I'm challenging Christians. I know that. But I also know when you challenge somebody, you better be busy yourself. Wow, I hear someone saying. You say, wow, you do, huh? Wasn't that awful hard, you're saying? Wow, you say. I mean, he wasn't doing anything, you say. That is the problem. He wasn't doing anything. How'd you like to have somebody working for you that didn't do anything? They came on time and they were there, but they didn't do anything. Just sort of walked around. Well, no, I hate to see somebody working and they got their hands in their pockets. And another thing I hate to see is someone walking around pretending to work and they got a cup of coffee in their hand and a donut biting on it. Well, it's Monday morning. Isn't that an irritation? How'd you like to have somebody just put their little finger around a cup of coffee and chonch on a donut all morning? Wouldn't that irritate you? I know you all work with people like that, right? And they just, man, they just make a great big production out of getting going. Then when they get going, there's hardly enough energy there. It wouldn't even move a meter if they had one attached to them. I think they ought to put life meters on people, see if they're alive. Is this person really alive? Isn't that the way it is? And these taking these hydrants around and fire. There's some people that get them there so late and they're so slow, the place could burn down before they even got there. Huh? Didn't you go over this address and that address? No, I didn't make it over there. It was real heavy traffic. They always got some excuse. Traffic was so heavy, it's backed up all the way down down there. And the next day, it's something else. No, I got up. I couldn't find my shoe. Huh? And they always got some excuse. Some little alibi. Huh? Well, God's going to ask, I gave you all that you needed to go ahead with the work. What's your excuse? I knew you were a real hard person, so I just didn't get into it. I didn't use my talent because I just knew what kind of a person you were. And so instead of faithful, he was slothful. Just for the benefit of the latecomers, I'm talking about talents. He was slothful. You ever seen the animal, I think they call him a sloth? And they just sort of, you really have to watch them because they got big claws and they just sort of. Huh? Barely move. In this kind of weather, they don't move at all. This is a great excuse for doing nothing. Man, it's so hot, I don't feel like doing nothing. How would that be, Ken, if you put that on your pet hospital? Dog and cat and bird and whatever hospital closed up because it just got too hot. Gone fishing. Hang a sign upon my door. Gone fishing. I think when the Lord comes, he's going to find a lot of signs on people's doors. Gone fishing. Hang a sign upon my door. And they'll be fishing off of Christian yachts with 400 or 500 people. Because who likes to go fishing by themselves? You've got to have fellowship. We're so interested in having fellowship with one another. We never reach out to anybody else. We just want to get into fellowshipping and fishing. Now they even have little buzzers on there. So you can talk. And then the buzzer goes off. Beep. Oh, fish. Did you see those? Yeah, actually a little buzzer on it. And if you just don't want to be bothered by the little fish, you set it for how many ounces you want. You can set it all the way up to 50 pounds if you want to. You know, I might hook onto an overshoe or something while you're busy talking. Full of mud. So instead of being faithful, he was slothful. Instead of sowing and reaping, he hid and he didn't water. He didn't water his talent. You know why? Because he was, let's just say it, lazy. Now, bosses that are listening to this, don't mince words with people. You got a shop to run, okay? I come out of the business world. I didn't put up with it. And right off the bat, just tell a person when they come up with all these excuses, you are lazy. Aren't you? And to say it in a nice way. Don't you just feel that you're kind of lazy? I don't know how nice you can say that. It might turn you in. Nowadays, you don't dare say anything or turn you in. Well, remember, when the Lord comes, there's no such thing as a union. He's going to come to rule and reign. Rule and reign. Period! You aren't going to vote on whether you're going to allow him to rule and reign. He isn't going to have to go through Congress. You aren't going to invent people to debate back and forth. He will come as a dictator in the truest sense, but a dictator filled with total love. And he will know without a question what he's talking about. And you're going to have to listen, because he's going to come with a rod. But whap. I mean whap. Have you had an opportunity to glorify Jesus, you listening? And you let it slip on by. Did you bury your talent right there? And then feel sorry for yourself for disobeying God? You know, when people are walking around, I know, I just can't get off it. I disobey God. I can't. Well, just get off it. Make the plunge. Take the leap. Cross the bridge. Go over to the other side. Leave yourself on the other side. Come on over. Yeah. That's why this parable that we're speaking of today makes us feel sorry for old one-talent Horace. And Jesus knew God's laws and how that he manifests himself through his children. Do you think that God works through doctors? I do. Right now, today, on Channel 15, I turned it on, and this doctor come up with some kind of a way where he goes through the veins in the legs and takes all the clogs all over out of from the heart situation, somehow, through a little balloon type of deal. Who do you suppose inspired him? Well, the person that God made him for a purpose. Well, what if God gave him that and then he just said, oh, you know, I know it would work, but hey, Bahama time. Bahama time. Let us go. And he put on a great big old straw hat with the frills around it, you know, and a lei around the neck and them old sandals you can hardly keep on. They flap up and they make all this noise. It sounds like a bunch of seals walking along. Huh? Flap, 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 flap. Pastor, are you against vacations? No. I think you should take one at least every 10 years or so. Well, hey, you got to recharge your batteries, don't you? That is the biggest bunch of baloney I ever seen in my life. No, I'm not against vacation, but some people are always charging their batteries. Hey, you don't use that. You know, you have to turn your lights on sometimes. You go across country. You overcharge. All charged up and nowhere to go. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given. You know, oftentimes we want a law more favorable to the poor amongst us. A law that guarantees, don't you know, abundance because we lack. That's where we miss it. A woman came to me and she says, Pastor, you're the wrong person to go to the north side. This is some 10, 12 years ago. And she said, you are the wrong person to go to the north side. And I'll tell you why. We need to have prosperity teachings down there. People need to know that God wants to bless them abundantly. And that, I said, well, no. No, that is not true. People need jobs. People need encouragement. People need role models. But they don't need to go to a higher welfare program. Right? What do we need most right now? To start to give. See, you can squeeze a quarter and be just as bad as a person that's got $1 million. It'll send your soul to hell just as quick. Loving that quarter, that two bits. No, people have to do with what they got. The other day, and I received an abundance of bicycles, and a little girl came in, and she says, do you have any bicycles? I didn't really particularly like this little girl, because she's real sassy and mean all the time to me, see? Being honest and truthful about it. And I thought, yeah, but there's a waiting list, I said. Put your name on the list. Right away, I knew that was wrong. I didn't repent. Oh, we do that, don't we? See, the thing is, knowing you did wrong. Okay. So then about 50 minutes later, I went back and to this girl. She's just as greedy as can be. But the Bible says, give to whomsoever ask. And she was the first one that asked. And I just received in this silver bicycle. I'm talking about silver. I hold silver away. All silver bicycles, silver fenders. You know, like I think it was a six-speed bicycle. I said, come with me. And we went over there and I said, here's your bicycle. And she looked at that bicycle. And she looked at me and she looked at the bicycle. And she was so content for about 5 minutes. She said, got any more teddy bears in? I'm going to challenge that little girl on Monday if I see her. Well, I'll see her because she's always here. And I'm going to challenge her. I'm going to say, You want to really gain? Why don't you give to somebody? Give that bicycle away to somebody, or those 10 teddy bears that you took out of here. Give one away. Let's just see what happens. I don't know. She'd probably argue about it and everything. I say, no, you've got a talent for getting things. Now you need to turn that thing around, and you need to take these talents, these things, and get a talent for giving. See, in poverty, people need to be taught how to give to one another. Instead of just holding on. Churches in our area need that too. They just hold on, and then the members will call up, what do you think of a pastor that would do thus and thus and so on, Pastor? Well, I don't know. I really can't say. He's not saying anything because he wants them to wander over to their side, see. I always tell them when they come in mass, and they have come up, they're leaving some church, they'll say, back, back. Back. I say, go back to your church. Apologize to your pastor and get right with God. So I don't need all of this trouble in here. I went through this for 4 or 5 times when I brought my other church down. I say other church because there's nothing that resembles our former church here. And you're speaking numbers, no way resembles it. But that has nothing to do with our talent because we don't have a lot of parishioners. What a name, parishioners. Almost sounds sickening, doesn't it? Parishioners. Huh? What's that got to do with God giving you a talent and use that talent? Or like a divine law of, let's say, dispensation. Relieving us all together of individual responsibilities, including our responsibility to God because we don't have a lot. Oh, I'm sure you can find something to give away, some talent to come and help, some talent to do something. No, the rich ain't going to do it, so the poor sure got to do it. And that's where the problem is. We like to say, well, now you just totally got to give to the poor here. They don't have any. And I hate that when the preachers pray that. Bless those that can afford to give and those that can't give us a cent, nothing. They don't have anything. What an insult. God has given everybody a measure of faith. God has given everybody a talent. But you see, this is how God works in us and for us. See, I believe the master in this parable may strike us as prejudiced, harsh, and unfair. And after all, it really isn't a picture of a loving father, is it, that Jesus delighted to portray? The emphasis here is not on his givingness, but on his expectiveness. God expects something. Don't you expect something out of your kids? Don't you tell them, I expect more than this out of you. A principal calls. Hello? Mr. Smith, I guess I'm pretty safe in saying that. Mr. John Doe, your son is over here. He's in trouble. Sounds like the story of my life, but we'll go. That's another story. Can you come over? And you go over there and you just, oh, God. I expected more than this out of you. Didn't I give you all this direction? Didn't I take you to Sunday school? Didn't I do this and didn't I do that? I expected more out of you. You kind of let me down, you know? What are you going to do about it? Don't you want to change? Could happen, couldn't it? Can't you see where you're going wrong? Now, don't get fearful. All parents face the very same thing. Kids become to a very rebellious age. I don't care how nice they are in the beginning. They turn out to be scoundrels somewhere along the line. Something you'll have to look forward to. Maybe you won't find out about it and it'll just pass over. Maybe it'll be on the front pages. I don't know. Right? But then again, when I think of my father and his forgiveness, you know why he forgave me? Because he knew I was trying anyway. See, a lot of times kids will start out right and they mean well, and then they muff it, right? Oh, why did I do that? And then they get a little deeper, a little deeper, a little deeper. At least they're doing something. I think I'm against these people that are against hyper kids so much. That kid's had too much sugar. He's showing signs of life. How much sugar does that kid eat? Sure. Huh? And we're all caught up in the reason that people are killing each other because they had too many frosted donuts. No, they didn't have no one told them they had talents and they could put those talents to work. And so we call them hyper. And if they don't do anything but stare at a wall, we say, well, something's wrong with the parents. So I got to get the right sugar balance in there, you know what I mean? I don't know, when I was a kid, I'd woof down 3 or 4 Milky Ways and they were as big as a bathtub. They're this big. Oh, see, we're not giving of ourselves a lot of times. We're not examples to people, and no one is taught how to go to work. No, God demands a showing, a return of His own with interest. Don't you want that out of your own children? With interest. Here's the truth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Even you and I belong to God, and the Bible says He works His miracles through us. He is and we are. Bible says because He is, we are. He is the great overlord. The Bible says that breathed life into us. The Bible also says that He planted in us living seeds of limitless possibilities. It also says He giveth richly all things to enjoy. But then in doing this, you see, in holding Himself responsible for us, He does not hold us irresponsible. You even have to challenge your own children. Don't be irresponsible. When they go to school and you've taught them and they act irresponsible and you've shown them and given them responsibilities at home, you figure when they go out, you're going to trust them with the talents that you have given them. To not be irresponsible. Right? You taught them not to write their name on their piano. Huh? Jimmy loves Judy. They can't do that on the walls in the bathroom at school either. or on the teacher's desk or on the doors, or they can't. I see in New York where they're now making the people that graffiti, and they paint everything. They just run around spray can. Now they have to clean it up. They're sentenced to cleaning it up. Don't you do that to your kids? Now look at this mess. You ain't going nowhere if you clean this up. I mean it. You're gonna stay. And then you come, I did it. You didn't do it. Still a mess there. And it showed all this graffiti and all these different, and the trash, garbage. People drop, eat a sandwich and just drop a lid down. Bottle of pop, they throw it and it goes all over the wall. And bottles laying all over. You ever seen those subways? Or the underground trains? Ever been there? Okay. And what a stinking mess. It just smells down there. And then it showed a picture of the after. When they made people responsible to clean up their own mess. It was all shiny and bright and nice. People were sweeping away. And they said, well, what do you think of this? You going to jump over the turn gate anymore? Not when I think I might get caught, I won't. He was honest. He says, why is that? He says, because I don't like to clean this up. People are filthy. And he was one of the guys that was doing it. Just look at this mess they make. I just get done and I walk by. I'm sweeping this out and I got 200 hours to do down here. And I'm sweeping and cleaning this out, expending my talents and everything like that. And they just throw it down like hogs. Now they're taking care of one another. Hey, you don't lay that down there. I'm going to shoot you. Pick that up. Woo. Yeah. You get them involved. That's what God wants. He wants his people to be so involved. They won't make it dirt for everybody else and hard times for everybody else and sit around judging everybody else. God wants us to be responsible. Do you believe that? You listening on this, do you believe that? No, I think in all that we are, furthermore, in all that we do, the Lord looks after, he says, his own. Do you believe that every time you leave your talent at home? Gone fishing, huh? Do you really honestly believe that? See, the gospel is exciting if you live it. Isn't it? What a resounding amen. Depend on it, nothing is overlooked. If his eye is on the sparrow and you know that he watches you, nothing is overlooked. Not, like Grandma used to say, not by a shadow of a hair. That's a pretty skinny shadow, isn't it? Can't hide behind that. As surely, in other words, as the harvest time follows the planting time, the Lord demands, he demands an accounting of all of his creatures. I remember years ago when I had a ministry called the accounting, and I had an adding machine and was adding it up. And it was an actual adding machine, adding up, taking account of everything. Just remember this, God will be exact. Are you hearing this, folks? Are you hearing this? You. Listen, we ain't got much more time to go. There will be a time when God will be very exact and he'll know exactly what you've done. It's called reward time. You can't hedge with God. You can't scheme around the truth. And anyway, as much as he loves us, He will not alter his principle. And if, by the way, by our own negligence, we manage poorly, I'm talking about the gifts that are entrusted to us by the Father, then automatically these gifts, they start to decrease and start to lessen. What you don't use, you lose. That's the same in sales. You don't get out there and you don't get up in the morning, put on the shirt, put on the tie, put on the pants, and you don't have a shiny pants. By the way, never be a salesman and go out with shiny pants. People know where you've been. And you don't put forth the effort, nothing's going to happen. My father used to say on this Father's Day, and I'll bring him into it as much as I can, start the jukebox up, rattle them dishes, so people will know that we're alive in here. You had the cafe opened up, not a soul in there. This is during the hard times. Let them know you're alive. Turn that fan on. Get done getting with his roast beef and gravies and everything. You turn the fan on in the back so that the aroma, the smells, and the people just float in like these comedies, you know. Put forth the effort, or you won't get any kind of reward, even in the natural. But we don't believe it in the spiritual, because who knows? So I wonder just how many real believers there really is. No, the Lord thy God, it says, is a just God. Are you hearing this? Well, can't you even see this even in the natural world? In businesses that don't grow, they haven't put forth any effort. Now, maybe you're saying, and you're in business, well, I'm on the wrong corner. Well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe you're the wrong person on the corner. Right? How do you think that you excel at things? How do you think, after all, a mission even gets? You go on out and you start early in the morning and you go till late at night. That's how you get your product. I had five letters that were written by Senator Boswich to different places, different food places. And he says, I am begging you to help disciples ministry, church mission, I am begging you to send food to them for the work that they continued to do undaunted with hard times and pressing issues. Please consider them. How about that? Are you ready? Maybe someone will call up and they'll say, hey, could you use 1 million beef patties? We've got to start tooling up here, don't we? We have to start tooling up. The word is out. But I thought, you know, Rudy, you're handling this like you're a businessman. Of course he is. I don't go so much by whether it's Democrat or Republican. I go by the person. Shouldn't you go by the person? Shouldn't you go by their track record? Shouldn't we? God's going to go by our track record. Or a man that won't work. What is he ever going to receive? Or a car that's not maintained. Looks like a dumpster for the McDonald's. You ever get in a car, it looks like a dumpster on the inside for McDonald's hamburgers? Got all of them cartons in there and milk cartons and ice cubes that are melted hanging out there and mustard and ketchup all over the windows. And look, you feel like you're sitting in a dumpster? Now, I know a lot of you folks are going to go out and start cleaning your cars immediately after this message. Praise God. Well, it's true, isn't it? And you just sort of, well, I'll clean it out one of these days, and you crunch in the plastic. Your foot hits on one, and it pops off to the side, you know, pop, pop. I gotta do this one of these days. God's giving you a talent. You just pick up a bag, and you put it in there, see?
You know, and if you're an example and you go out here and you're picking, a lot of times I'll just go out, I'll see a bunch of kids out there, and I'll see a bunch of, you know, it's all messy out there, and think, oh, I just don't, I'll get it tomorrow, and I see these kids, and this is an opportunity. So I just start picking up all this junk. Hey, would you reach that over there for me? Old Pastor Paul, getting my kindly bend over. Will you get that for me there, Sonny? Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Then I go inside. Da 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 da. Hey, if you never challenge anybody, if you're too lazy to teach anybody or to challenge them, well, what do you expect? If you're too lazy to get yourself going, how can you get anybody else going? Now you take a look around at the house that isn't painted. And pretty soon it starts to rot. Pretty soon it does. People will come in and say, boy, this building looks so crisp and so clean. Wow. And it's even on the north side. Well, that's what they think. I just say, go on up and down these streets and look how nice the north side is beginning to look. Isn't our north side looking great? Isn't it really, though? Compared to what it used to look like? I think it is. I think if we all would join together for a very few, well, not for a lot of money, just for a few pennies, we could beautify things so they'd be using this down here as an example of what the rest of the places should look like. Well, just the same way if you don't love your children. They're not maintained. There's a lot of kids that don't have any love at all. I see a lot of kids that get slapped in the back of the head. You shut up, whap. You shut up, whap. You shut up. And so the kids only know very their vocabulary is very limited. Shut up. You ask them to do something, that's all they can say. You shut up. Then they surprise themselves. Hey, I sound just like my mom. Or my dad. You shut up. And they practice it. You shut up. So then they get better at telling people to shut up. And they have no respect for anybody. They just come up. You shut up, mister. They're only about this tall. I had one little guy do that to me. I says, okay, I'll shut up, but I'm going to speak to you through my eyes. Get the message? Right? Called challenging folks without saying a word. My mom was good at that. She used to look at me with wait till I get you home eyes. That's what happens in the church too, doesn't it? The body of Christ. When everybody just sort of comes in and they just sort of sit. I got a kick out of this big picnic we had, and we had different, and you people were so great here. You all came and you did so much, and it was just fabulous what you did. But I had other churches that came in, and I think we need to teach them. So they got up and they did their little musical and things like that, and then they all sort of wandered out with their silk trousers and things on, and their bobby haircuts. And they got there exactly right on time. I asked one man, I said, well, you're going to have to come a little bit early so you can set up. Oh, no, there's no sense in that. No sense in that. I'll learn not to depend on people ever again. No sense in that. I'll get here about a half hour before. So we got there. Well, do you have this ready for me? Do you have that ready for me? Do you have this ready for me? I said, no. I have nothing ready for you. You'll have to fend for yourself, fella. You'll have to try to pull it together now. But remember, I'm not dealing with you. God is. Because all these kids and thousands of kids that are here were expecting something to happen out of this special thing that he was running, and it never came off. Well, it came off, but it was sort of a half-hearted thing, you know, and so the kids were busy with others. We got involved with something else. Do you think God sees things like that? I know He does. And I know you stayed there late, Kent, and you had the hardest job rolling up this great big old fence, something I did not want to do. And I thought, well, praise God, He's here. And it was, you know, He's rolling up the fence, and it was like late. You people were there late. You didn't think you got off work, and you guys stayed late. And people, you were great, see? And it all got done. Do you think that God sees things like that? I know He does. But we're so busy trying to keep up appearances to each other that, aren't you going to go to the retreat? The Christians are on, they're on a retreat. They're always retreating. They're never going forward. They're always going on, retreat! Plan your strategy. That is the most hateful things, those retreats. All they do is go over there and get in separate rooms and talk about each other. Oh, I think we love to preach, all things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. Well, of course, Jesus taught it, and He wants us to teach it also, but He also wants us to put it into works. Ask, and it shall be given unto you, He says. Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. See, it's all in the spirit of how you ask. You really want to get into the Spirit? Well, I'll tell you how you do that, because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. That's getting into the right spirit when you seek what He wants first. And you know, when these things that you wanted so badly, after you seek the kingdom of God and you receive the just rewards of joy, you really don't need those things so much. He, it says, that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, yes, and even greater works than these shall he do. Think about that. Jesus had no problem whatsoever demonstrating His ability to draw rich treasures from His Father's kingdom. But then, of course, what He taught, He practiced. Preachers, if you're listening to the radio or this tape, you have to practice what you preach. Oh, seeking first the kingdom of God, you might have to leave some things behind. You might be called on to make some kind of a demonstration that you really mean it. When He told, by the way, about the poor steward who buried his talents. Jesus, of course, was describing a type of God activity in man that He, I believe, Himself recognized in every act of His own life. He never taught anything. He went through it. And then He taught. He was then teaching us how God's principle of increase works. And, by the way, in and through man. He said, he that hath ears, let him hear. Put them to use, will you please? He said also, if ye know these things, blessed are ye if ye do them. You want to get a blessing? See, you aren't going to get a blessing if you know these things. And to know, by the way, and not do is sin. To know that you're supposed to extend yourself beyond your own family confines or business confines or something like that, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you. That very practical principle, and you have to know that, and knowing that, if you don't do it, you won't be blessed. Well, blessed are you if you do know that and then do that, the Bible says. How do you deal with your kids when you say, I told you to do your room? He says, well, I know it. Do you know how to do your room? Yes. And they don't do it. Are they going to receive a blessing for their knowledge on how to extract dust balls from under their beds? And then never do it? No. You have kids. Don't you? Don't you expect something out of them? Are you hearing this? I think he made this point so impressive to the human ears, because I believe the thing given there was a trust of money. Now, you want to get a person's attention, talk about money. Do you see these big assemblies they have now when they talk about money, and they've got people on the subconscious mind and the inner mind and so on like this, and they go through all this, and they sell these tapes, and they sell them for about $400 a piece. See, on how you have to change your whole attitude of thinking to lose 10 pounds. And the reason I couldn't do, there was a little voice inside of me saying, eat, 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 of course. You dummy knows that. We all got that voice speaking to us. Pig out! Go for it! Diet tomorrow! Give me another brownie. Double dipper ice cream. Yeah, hey, woo-hoo, come on. Huh? And they sell those things. God gives you that principle right here. Know it, and then not only know it, but do it. But one way I said to get your attention is talk about money. However, this doesn't apply all to money. It applies to every aspect of ourselves. Every talent. Well, your breathing is a talent. Isn't that a talent that God gives you? Isn't that a talent? I mean, you don't have to think about it. It just goes in and out. Have you thought about breathing lately? No, don't think about it, because you'll mess it up. You start to get anxious. I'm breathing. I wonder if it'll stop. I said, doing well. And you know, you don't have to think about it. It's a talent God has given you. And you just breathe like anything. See this thing? It's made for breathing. Jealous? Huh? You don't have to think about seeing. Just look around and then queen, 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 just like a camera. It catches everything. Isn't that a talent? And they got all these cameras. Oh, it just resembles the eye. There's no way it resembles the eye. That eye catches everything. It stores it up, puts it in the brain. You'd think about the talent God gave you in your own body. A mobile temple. What a miracle of God. It's got all kinds of little germ fighters in there, and it's got little memory. I remember that. It's little memory things, and it remembers that disease that was there 2 years ago. Ah, I got his number. That's an X14. Huh? You talk about fighter command, boy. I want to tell you, a miracle of God is the human body. You want to blow a computer up? There is a way you could hook up this mind to a computer. That thing would be smoking. I don't care what kind of a beast it is. Man, we're talking about a talent of a body that's separate from all other bodies, and it functions. It walks and it talks and it can think and it can glorify God. It can do all of those things. But what are you using your life? It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your treasure is your life. Where your life is, where are you at? Huh? Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Isn't there a song like that? Think about it. Think about it. Okay. Think about it. Your individual body is a talent among talents. Woo-hoo! God hasn't even given you the full thrust of it because you're too dangerous with it yet. But when you meet him, you'll be made like him because you'll know him as he really is. You'll become like him. Think about that. That's why it says glorify God in your body. It is a talent. Your name is a talent. That's what you're telling. One of God's talent is Jeff and Joe and Pete and Paul and Kent. Those are the talent we're talking about. You. Well, I think we should ask ourselves a couple of questions while we're wrapping it up here. Am I using these gifts to the fullest of my ability? To each, it says, according to his several ability. Figure that one out. Was I envying another person who was given five, and I was only given two, and I was only given one? But wait, the Bible says God has no respecters of persons. In what way do I judge? In other words, what is lesser or what is greater? Because everything is important, don't you see, to God's view. You know, if you only have one talent, wouldn't it be greater if you used it without complaining, without comparing, without criticizing, without condemning, but just use what God has given you? Well, do you remember Agnes Two Mites in the Bible? I don't know her name. Is it Agnes? I don't know. Do you remember the lady with two mites? Aren't you going to be interested to meet her when you get to heaven? And she'll be standing there and just say, well, is this the person with the two mites? Woo, she'll have all these crowns on. Yeah, that's Agnes Two Mites. And it says that she'll be remembered forever, talked about until he comes. Well, see, I just mopped the floor for God, and well, then don't envy the piano player. God, isn't that music when your kids, when you tell them to mop the floor and they mop it, isn't that music to your ears? Do you think it's music? Well, it's just as much music comes out of a mop as it comes out of the piano. Da 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 dum, da dum, da dum, da 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 dum, huh? Doesn't that make beautiful music when you look at the floor and it's all shiny and bright and nice? What's the first thing that a person notices when they come into a building? Like downstairs down here. And they come in and they look all over, and if there was cartons and junk all over the floor, they come in and say, boy, it's so nice in here. They'd notice the floor. Who did this? Who is your janitor here? Who is the custodian? Do you think it's important to do a good job when you mop the floor? Do you think it's a good witness when you clean a toilet bowl properly? Ever been into a place where it isn't cleaned properly? And you go into gas stations, you're on a trip, and the mirror has got soap and dirty, lava soap all over it, gray streaks running down the walls, and the towels are hanging down in the toilet. And the sink is all begrimed and smudgy and dirty. And then it has a sign up there: all employees must clean their hands before leaving here. You feel like you ought to run a paddy wagon up there from the health department and arrest those people and put them into prison to clean. Do you think that's important when you go to the restroom? Don't you like to have it nice and clean? God is no respecter of persons. That's beautiful music when they can go ahead and they can do a job and make music out of a mop. Are you hearing this? Can you right now honestly report to the Lord? Can we? Our every thought, our every endeavor, our every deed, our every episode. Would he answer, well done, my good and faithful servant? Think about the whole week. Now, never mind your whole life. Just think about last week. Think about this morning. Just don't cause some kind of a nervous breakdown here. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will set thee over many. Faithful over a few things. Could it be that the one talent man could have been greater even though he had lesser talents? If he would have been faithful over a few things? I mean, what's more important, the talent or the faithful? Rosemary is here every morning. Is she going to be judged so much on the talent as the faithful? Maybe she has 10 talents, maybe she has one. I don't know. I'm not going to get into it. That's a 10, like the world does, you know. But I'm going to say, she's going to be judged how faithful she is. Putting her bun on the tray, vacuuming the rug out there. See, it's all faithful. It's the same way in business, isn't it? Don't you appreciate somebody you come in and you know that they're faithful and the job's going to be done, and they don't gripe, and you just, "Hi, Kent, how's it going?" They just keep right on working, and so you happen to walk up to them, "How's it going?" Huh? Like you asked them some kind of a stupid question or something. You know what I mean? Isn't it nice when you have somebody that's faithful and you can depend on that person? Even though they're doing a very small thing and you can depend that it will be done. Shouldn't we teach people how to be faithful and that there are rewards in being that they will reap it? Are you hearing this? Well, someone's saying on the radio, "Well, I have very little materially. I have very little physically or spiritually." But who are you to judge what God has given you? Remember, each one, it says, is charged according to his several ability. Now, let's go ahead and let's just consider what God has given you undisputedly. God has given you your life, like I said. Your life. He's given Jim life. Gave him a name. Gave Jim life. I mean, that, you know, we take souls pretty lightly. We are looking at fantastic miracles every day. I don't care what station of life that people are in. But God has given him life. Something so tremendous, something with so much potential, something so potent, I should say, wonderful and marvelous, that no one has ever been able to analyze the human life. Think about that. What it's composed of, what it sparks, what gets it going, how it works, which houses a life force that no one can duplicate exactly. No one can totally, exactly duplicate the life of Jim Robertson. Nobody. He's given you a world to reside in, to explore, a world full of things. Are you hearing this? Can you imagine trying to describe the talent of the mind? You have all been given the power to believe here. Every time that we say, "I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm sick and tired, I'm bored, I'm depressed." No, see, you might be that way because, see, intelligence only increases with application and use. What you don't use, you lose. Use what you have and God will give you more. Oh, I'm looking for an increase down here, folks. Do you believe God with the talents he's given you to believe? That you're whole, that you're happy, that you're prosperous, that you're going forward, that you can love, that you feel wonderful? What other talents are you carrying around that are hidden that you never even think about? A talent for vitality? You have a talent for that. And some people to say, "I'm tired." So they tell themselves, "Tired," so they're tired. No, you have a talent, the Bible says. You have that talent that God has given you for vitality, for energy, for patience, for trust, for gratitude, for industry. Oh, what's some others? A talent for diligence. A talent for cooperation. You have a talent for cooperating. Don't you feel good when you cooperate? When someone says, "Will you do this?" You don't think about it. You just start to cooperate. And right in, it's right on the inside. It's a God-given ability. And he says, "Come on, will you cooperate?" He says, "I will." It's not a release. It's against the flesh, but it's a release when you do it. And you say, well, that wasn't so bad. Then you can listen to the person again. You can take some more orders because you've broken down that. No, you have the talent to obey God, but we don't use that talent. We have the talent to believe, but we don't use that. God says, well, I've given you the talent. I've given you faith. I've given you the talent to believe. I've given you the talent for energy. I've given you the talent for vitality. I've given you the talent for love. I've given you the talent for causing increase and for encouraging. I've given you all these talents. What did you do with them? They were right inside of your body. All you had to do is call upon the name of the Lord in time of trouble, and he'll answer. And you had all these things, and you had all these talents. What'd you do with them, by the way? You had the talent to be a very loving person, and instead you were cantankerous and mean and yelling, and you're always, totally just being on people's backs. You had a total talent. What did you do with it? Did you bury it? Well, I knew what kind of person you were, and I didn't know. Well, here it is. It's all wormy, and you just handle the old talent to God. Here it is. Did you see? I mean, what a poor excuse when God has given you this fantastic body. We really have not explored the possibilities of the body and the mind, let alone get into the spiritual realm. And don't even tamper to go beyond what you know in God, or you just start to get weird, see? And there's like a lot of this new religion coming out. And a lot of people do get weird, even in the charismatic movement. They just went totally got crazy, and they are weird, and they just totally got out there. That's the truth about it, because they just don't use their talents. They're busy telling other people what to do and prophesying over this one and that sister and that sister and a kitchen prophecy and all this. And God has given you the talent to believe and to love people and to say, yes, I'm just like you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And the only possibility for me making it, by the way, is by the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord. You've given me the talent to make it because you gave me your life. After all, that is the biggest talent of all, that God gave his life. That whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that a talent? Isn't that something you should share with other people? The gospel of Jesus Christ, what a talent. And we don't believe it enough to even give it away. I wonder if this is the right time. I wonder, the guy's dying, he's bleeding, blood is pumping out of his heart. And you put your finger in there. Lord, is it your will? Huh? Do you want me to do this or that, huh? Well, that's my message for today. But boy, just think of the possibilities within each person. Just think what one person can do that's directed by God. Look at Jesus. Of course, he's God on earth, but I'm still, he put himself in the position of being a human. Just look at people. Look at Moses. Look at Elijah. Look at the different presidents that we've had. Huh? Look at the different leaders that we have. One person. Think about that one person if he really dedicates himself to doing that thing. And see, isn't that good business sense? Isn't it? You know, I finally got a bank to join in with me, and I got a call from the Franklin Bank, and they're going to come down and look over this. The guy drove by and said, to see if this church was worth. We only owe about $79,000 on everything you can see, taste, smell, feel, kick. I mean, talking about the tires out there, you know. And they drove by to see whether it was worth that much or not. Hey, we're selling houses down here for more than that. And I think the guy was totally astonished when he drove by here. Now, last week that I tell you this, that the Jewish Historical Society is going to come in here and do repair on this building? Did I tell you people that? I had Rabbi Schulman in here. And he ministered until I didn't have no time left. But I says, tell you what, he said, we got to go. I says, I'll talk to you while you're going. I'll take you through the whole building and talk. I can talk like a machine gun. Let's go. And I laid down everything, and the guy was from the Jewish Historical Society. He says, I see your roof needs fixing. My key word, I see that it needs fixing. I thought, this is a talent, if I ever seen one. Let me enhance this man. Let me, get the wind along the wall out there. I'm going to get for this a new brick wall on the side there and painting new doors on all the doors all around the building. And, they're going to take care of this. Why? God has given people talents. I have been given a talent, and the Bible says that in the Jewish realm, it says that the Jews have been given the power to persuade. One time I told a person that. I said, you know what? God spoke to me and says, Paul, you have the power to persuade. You're not Jew. I said, yes, I am. I'm grafted in. Besides, I said, Greeks and Jews are pretty close when it comes to business. So I said, I really believe God has given me the power to do that. Anyway, it's a talent that God has given us all, the power to persuade. See, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you don't get no glory out of it. He gives it to you. And when he gave you his life, after all, aren't all those talents in there? I want to thank you all for being here today. And if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, you can know him today. Dear, do you have Jesus as your personal Savior?
Talents. We all have them. How are we using them? I know when I first came to Pastor Paul's, I was just full of energy, and I just wanted to do so many things. It was just so exciting because I was able to, I felt, actually do something physically to help and to be involved. And I had mentioned this in another episode when I first I went to church at Pastor Paul's church, and it was at Thanksgiving weekend in November of 1983. Opened a curtain after the service, and there were all these bread bags. And my immediate response was, well, that's what a Christian should be doing. And so since then, I finished school, and then I actually started working for Pastor Paul in 1984. It was actually about a year later, volunteered prior to that. But when I first came down to Pastor Paul's to work, I was ready to give it my all. And we did amazing things. If you look at our website, we had a lot of media coverage. We had a lot of different things happening. And it wasn't as though we were really just seeking all of that. But I think it was just because we were just so moving and pushing and growing. And it was just putting everything into the mission at that time. And I remember that was incredible. Well, you know, since then things have changed, and I mean, we're still putting everything into it. Although, you know, you wonder, have I gotten a little laid back here? I don't know. I think we're kind of changing a little direction here though. And basically we are going to be putting everything into our online community. So for us, this is like a new beginning in that regard. What a great message, talents. But yeah, that's what it reminded me of, just how I just wanted to put everything into what we were doing, and we did. And we made a lot of headway. So now we're ready to do the same with the online community, and I hope that you will join us with the online community. Basically, it's looking a little sparse right now because we're just kind of putting it out there and getting started. Another thing I want to mention before I end here, I was able to watch Gandhi this week, and if you get a chance, Ben Kingsley plays Gandhi, and I think it was a 1982 film. Well, it's the only one with Ben Kingsley as Mahatma Gandhi. I'm telling you, inspiration. It is unbelievable. I thought of that movie when Pastor Paul was talking about how one life can make such a difference. Check out Gandhi, the film. It is very inspiring, and What a talent and he was. So, what a week. What a week. I hope you have a great week. And be sure to keep in touch. Go to www.pastorpaul.org. And, you know, just kind of go to the blog, go to the podcast, go to the Twitter, Flickr. I'm going to be getting Dig on there, and probably Facebook later. We're just going to keep adding, and want you to be involved. So thanks for joining us. And until next Friday, God bless you. So if you tear